This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, we're teaching on a portrait of a godly mother. Our sermon is a portrait of a godly mother. But I want to start this Mother's Day sermon by introducing you to a son. Turn with me to Acts chapter 16. We're going to read from verses 1 through 3 of Acts chapter 16. Here's a young man that you probably already know, but you may not have looked at him in terms of his mother. Acts 16, starting with verse 1. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Now, look at this young man for a moment. Timothy, look at him. It says that he was the son of a Jewish woman, but his father was a Greek. And notice what it says. It says this Jewish woman was a believer, but it doesn't say anything at all about his father. And that leads me to believe that she believed, he didn't. It was a mixed marriage, a believer and a non-believer. But look at Timothy himself. It says that he was well spoken of by the brethren. It says he was a disciple, well spoken of by the brethren. What does that tell you about Timothy? First of all, he was a believer. He had accepted Christ. He was walking as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And he was well spoken of by the church, by the members of the church. What does that mean? Well, first of all, he had to be well brought up. If you're a brat, you are not well spoken of by the church. Amen? And so he had to be well brought up. He had to be well behaved. His mother had to have taught him how to behave among the brethren, how to behave in the church. And so they knew this is a young man who is a worthy young man. He had to be well taught in the word. Look at this. The Apostle Paul came to town. And he's teaching the people, and he looks out, and he sees a young man and says, you know what? I want you to go with me. And what does that tell you? This young man had to be on the ball spiritually. Amen? He had to be on the ball spiritually. He had to have something in him that Paul looked out and saw and said, this is somebody who can come and aid me in the preaching of the gospel. This is a worthy young man. Thirdly, look at this. He had to have a consistent walk. The church does not speak well of you when they know that you've got a messy walk. Amen? When you're walking the walk on Sundays and talking the talk the rest of the week, but living the way that you just want to live the rest of the week, guess what? The church will know about it. You can't fool the church. I mean, there's too many eyes and ears out there. Do you know that? I mean, if you're out there living a messy life all week long, somehow or other, it's going to get back to the brothers and sisters. And so Timothy had a consistent walk. Here's a young man who obviously his parents had done a great job of raising him, so much that Paul said, I want you. And that was no light thing. You're in Acts chapter 16. I want you to go back into chapter 15. Start with verse 36 and let's look at something. Paul's standards were very high for the young man that he would have to travel with him because Paul had already been burned. Look at this. Acts 15, starting with verse 36. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take him with, not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone on with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. See what happened? John Mark was a young man. And Paul had invited him to go along on the missionary journey. But John Mark, and by the way, this is the Mark that wrote the book of Mark. So he did redeem himself. But as a young man, he got out there and it got hard. Understand, there was no Route 81 and Route 283. I mean, you had to travel on foot over dusty roads. There were thieves and robbers. It was hot. Mark got out there and said, "My mama's house is sounding better to me all the time." And he turned around and went home. And when it came time to go on the next journey, Paul said, I will not have a quitter on my team. We're only going to have quality people on my team. And the contention was so great that Barnabas, who was a relative of Mark's, and more than that, Barnabas had such a gentle heart, such a merciful heart. He says, "This young man can be redeemed. This young man, he blew it once, but give him another chance." Paul said, "No way." And the contention was so great that Paul and Barnabas parted ways. And this is what happened just before Paul met this young man, Timothy. So you know that Paul's standards had to be extremely high. He had been burned once. He was not going to be burned again. This young man was so impressive that despite what had happened with John Mark, Paul said, "Come on, you're the one I want." One more thing to take a look at. Timothy was the son of a Jewish mother and a Greek father. Now understand this, in that time, Jews and Greeks did not mix. Do you remember that when the Lord wanted to send Peter to a Gentile, what he had to do? He had to put Peter in a trance and give him a dream in which he let down a sheet three times with all kinds of animals so that Peter would understand that Gentiles are no longer unclean in the sight of God. He could go and enter the Gentile's house. And so here you have a young man who is half Greek, and Paul is wanting to take him on a missionary journey. He knew the Jews would be offended. That's why he went and had the young man circumcised, in order to try to take away as much of that offense as possible. But here, catch it. He knew that the Jews would not like it. The Greeks probably wouldn't like it. And then he said, "Timothy, you're so valuable, I want you anyway." See, all of this is simply to say, look at the quality of this young man. This young man is a high quality, outstanding believer that Paul said is valuable to me. And how did he get that way? He had a mom. Go over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. I want you to see what happened. Before we talk about his mom, I want you to see how Timothy panned out. See what he became when he began to minister with Paul. Look at this. 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting with verse 2. This is Paul speaking. He's sending this letter to Timothy. He says, "To Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine." Now I want you to see two things. Paul is saying, "Timothy, you are my true son in the faith." What does that say? He held Timothy in high esteem. He was willing to say, "Timothy, you are my spiritual son." Priscilla was speaking of spiritual mothers. Guess what, guys? We can be spiritual fathers. Amen? And Paul was the spiritual father to Timothy. He said, "I'm proud of you, son." And look at what he did. He said, "Timothy, what I want you to do is stay in Ephesus as my representative, and I want you to give the church instructions. I want you to teach them what doctrine they're to be teaching. I want you to watch out that no false doctrine is taught." In other words, Paul was willing to give this young man a great deal of responsibility for the church. This was a young man who had proved himself. This was a high quality young man. And how did he become what he was? He had an outstanding mother. That was the secret. Let's look at this mother. Go back over to Acts chapter 16. Let's look at his mother. See what kind of mother produced this outstanding son who became one of the spiritual giants in the early church. Acts 16, verse 1. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. As we've already seen, this was a marriage that was an unequally yoked marriage, a believer with a non-believer. And that meant that there were some problems in that marriage. The godly influence in Timothy's life was not his father. It was his mother. Now, that's not the way it's supposed to be. A child coming up should be able to count on having a godly influence from both parents. Amen? And in this day and age, we know particularly that the influence of a father is of vital importance. As we look at a situation in which we have young kids running the streets, young kids who are totally out of control, young kids who really don't care, they'll pop you off and not think about it. And going to jail is just part of the rite of passage of growing up today. What we know is this, that young men who grow up with a father in the house are far less likely to fall into that trap. Just the fact of having a father in the house, let alone him being a good father. And so it's not supposed to be that she had to bring this son up by herself, but guess what? She did it. And she did a magnificent job of it. Look at this. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Look at how important a godly parent is. In fact, look at how important a godly mother can be. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, starting with verse 13. 1 Corinthians 7:13. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now, what are they? They are holy. In other words, when you've got one parent in the house who is willing to take their stand for Christ, even though their spouse is out in the world, even though their spouse is going a different way, you've got one parent in that house. God says, I can work through that. It will be hard, it will be difficult, but I can use that. Your children are sanctified by that one parent being there. Why? Because the power of God is able to get into that household through the one who believes. Well, let's ask the question, what made her such a great mother? Go over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's see if we can figure out what made this woman who was in a difficult situation. Let's see if we can figure out what made her such a great mother. 2 Timothy 1, starting with verse 2. To Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Now let's see if we can figure out what it is that made this mother such a great mother. Number one, it says that the faith that Timothy had, that genuine faith, the faith that made him such an outstanding Christian young man, where did it dwell first? In his grandmother and then in his mother. In other words, the faith that he had in his life came from his mother. Praise God. She had a genuine faith in her life that she passed on to her son. So the first thing that made her an outstanding mother was she kept her own faith strong. She kept her own faith strong. Go over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Understand this. The first thing that a godly mother has to have is a genuine walk with the Lord for herself. You cannot pass on what you don't have. Amen? If you don't have it for yourself, how can you pass it on to your children? Deuteronomy chapter 6, look at verses 6 and 7. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Catch that. It says that you're supposed to teach the word of God to your children. But where does it have to be first? It's got to be in your own heart. Amen? Before you can teach your children, you've got to have it. And so this mom knew that the first thing that she had to do was to be strong in her own faith. And it was not easy for her. It was not easy for her. But she knew that she had to do whatever she needed to do in order to get her own spiritual life in order. Her husband was a Greek, not a believer. She was a Jew and a believer. You know, he probably didn't appreciate this Christianity stuff a whole lot. In that day and time, Judaism was an accepted religion. A lot of people may not have liked the Jews, but it was accepted. Christianity was an outlaw religion. So now you have his wife, a Jew, which is a minority, and then going to a religion which was not accepted in that time, and he was a Greek. What do you think his attitude was? How many of you have ever seen somebody whose wife was a Christian, loved the Lord, really wanted to serve the Lord, and the husband didn't? Ever seen that situation? Mm-hmm. What kind of attitude does the man usually have? I don't want you down at that church all hours of the day. I don't want you giving our money to that church. And no, my kids, I'm going to take them fishing. They don't need to be in church on Sunday. Isn't that right? That's probably the kind of thing that she was dealing with. She was dealing with a husband that had no appreciation for spiritual things. And yet she knew that in the midst of that, she had to stay spiritually strong herself. You know what that means? I know that, Monica, you can attest to this. When you have young kids, how easy is it to find time for yourself? How easy is it to find time to be alone, to spend time with the Lord, and to grow stronger in Him? That's not easy, is it? Now see, the husband's supposed to be helping. Amen. Guys, I just want us to understand this. The husband is supposed to be helping. The husband is supposed to be sometime giving his wife time away from the kids. Amen. She didn't have that. And she found a way anyway. She knew she had to do what she had to do. Maybe she got up early, you know, before the kids got up. Now, I don't know what time kids get up. Maybe kids, what time do kids get up? 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning? Amen. Well, whatever time they got up, she had to get up before they got up and spend some time with the Lord so that she could have some quiet time. Or maybe it was that she put them to bed and then she had to spend some time with her husband. And then after he went to sleep, maybe she got back up and spent some time with the Lord. Or maybe she was able to get somebody to babysit the kids every once in a while so that she could have some time away from them to get together with Christ. Maybe she was able to trade off with another single mom so that she'd keep her kids one day and the next day the other mom would keep her kids and they would have some time. Whatever it was she needed to do, she knew my number one priority, if I'm going to raise this child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, my number one priority has to be my walk. I've got to be walking with Christ. I've got to do what it takes. Whatever the cost is, I've got to pay the price. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 11, 1. Here's the thing that you need to understand about a parent. How is it that a parent is able to pass on their faith to their children? Here's the very first step. 1 Corinthians 11, 1. Imitate me, as I also imitate Christ. The King James says, follow me as I follow Christ. Amen? Amen? What is going to be the greatest spiritual influence in the life of a child? It's going to be what they see their parents doing. It's going to be the kind of life they see their parents living. You know, we talked about the fact that you can't live a messy life and not get back to the church. Understand this. If you live a messy life, do you know who the first one who will know about it is? It's going to be your kids. I don't know if any of you have ever tried it, but can you fool your kids for very long? They know exactly what you are. And what they know is this. If you're talking about the Lord and acting like the devil, they learn how to be a hypocrite. Isn't that right? I mean, you're telling them, I want you to be a great Christian, but what they really learn is, well, the way to be what mom is talking about or what dad is talking about is to talk about Jesus all the time and then go out and do all the dirt you can. See, they will learn what you teach, but what you teach is not so much what you say. What you say is important, but what they're really going to learn is what they see. They're going to follow you. They're going to follow you. Now, what it should happen is they follow you as you follow Christ. But if you're not following Christ, guess what? They're going to follow you anyway. And so she knew, number one, I've got to keep my own life so close to Christ that the overflow of my life is going to spill over into my son's life. And she did an outstanding job. So number one, the first thing she did that made her an outstanding mother was she kept her own spiritual life strong. Number two, she was committed to passing on her faith to her child. She was committed to that. Look at Proverbs 22, verse 6. Here's something that she, as a Jewish woman, already knew. This is something that she would have learned as she grew up. This is part of the scriptures that God had given to his people. Proverbs 22, 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, let me ask you this. Is that a suggestion? Is that a possibility? Is that something that will be nice if you have time and it's not too inconvenient? Or is it a command that God gives to his people? That's a command, isn't it? That's a command. There's no options here. There's no alternatives here. The scripture says we are to train up our children in the way they should go. Now, what does it mean to train? Does that mean to send them to Sunday school? Well, Sunday school can help, amen? But guess what? Who's responsible for training the children? Who did God give that responsibility to? Parents. Training your children means you take them by the hand and show them what they need to be doing. If you wanted to learn the piano and you came to me and said, Pastor, I want to learn the piano. Please teach me. First thing I would tell you is go find a better teacher. But then the second thing I would tell you is that we will need to sit down and I will need to show you what to do, and then you will need to do it yourself. That's what training is all about. I first have to show it to you. I first have to explain it to you. But then you follow me as I do it. And finally, you're able to do it on your own. That's how you train your kids. You've got to be doing it yourself. And you've got to be committed to doing it yourself. Well, look at this. She was in a mixed marriage. Not so much racially as spiritually mixed. She did not have the support of her husband. And she probably had opposition from Jews and Greeks alike. Now, one thing she did have, she had the support of her own mother. Praise God. So she did have some support. She did have a role model. But she still had to get in there and do it for herself. She was the one that had to get Timothy up on Sunday morning and say, son, we're going to church. But mom, dad is sitting here reading the paper. I want to stay with dad. No, son, we are going to church. She had to do that. She did that without support. She knew what she had to do. She was committed to passing on her faith to her son. Understand this. She lived in a society where women were not given a great deal of credit. And so as a woman who's trying to pass on her faith, not to her daughter, but to her son, in a situation where she was a Jew in a Greek society, part of a religion, Christianity, that was not approved. She had a lot of adverse pressure on her to just let it go. But you know what? She overcame every obstacle. She did what she had to do. Let me tell you what it takes to be a great mom today. Not just back then, but today, in this society, where just as she had no support for the spiritual upbringing of her child, there's not very much support for bringing up children in a spiritual environment here today. Look at what she had to do. Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Be strong and of a good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This mom had to be strong. She had to be courageous. She was committed to passing on her faith to her child. She was committed to raising this child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. She did not have the help she should have had. But she was strong and courageous enough to do what she needed to do. She found a way. She didn't step back and say, it's too hard, I can't do it. She didn't step back and say, as so many do today, well, I got my own needs. I need time for myself. And the child is out there just kind of hanging out. She said, I'll do what I need to do because I'm committed to passing on my faith. My mother raised me. I shared that with you before. My mother raised me. My dad wasn't there. As I mentioned, I probably saw him twice in my life. He wasn't there. See, so I know about this. I know about working the 11 to 7 shift and living in the projects in order to bring up your child. I was an only child, and I know about having more than other kids in the neighborhood because my mom was willing to work and willing to spend on me. See, I know about a mother who's willing to do what needs to be done. She had me in church all the time I was growing up, in the little choir, on the little usher board, in Sunday school. Whenever something was happening, she'd get me there. She paid a price. I remember one of the things that sticks in my mind to this day is even I can remember when I went back home from college, we would still do this. It was one of the traditions in our home. On New Year's Eve, at the stroke of midnight, you know where we'd be? On our knees at the side of her bed, praying the new year in. I still remember. See, I had a single mom who was determined to pass on her faith. And so you want to talk about honoring moms. See, I know. I know what Eunice had to face because I've seen it myself. A mom, a parent, has to be determined because it will not be easy.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Dairy Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Dairy or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcommchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.